How true it is. It is no secret what God can do. That's the title of my message this morning, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. It is no secret what God can do. Ephesians, chapter 3, and my text, verses 20 and 21. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, I remind you emphatically, I remind you again and again that it is no secret at all what God is able to do. If there is a nation on earth that has been blessed of God and that should pour out today praise and thanksgiving and adoration to Him, it is America. Could it not have been our nation where 175,000 were swept out in death and many hundreds of thousands more will die of starvation and disease? Why did it hit Pakistan instead of the United States? Or why did it hit Manila, the Philippines, instead of one of our cities? Isn't God good to us? I just want, before I read my text today, to tell you that I am thankful as your pastor for the opportunity to serve you. And I love you today. And I thank God for this church. And I thank God for the Bible and for our country. Oh, I know there's a whole lot wrong with it, but there's still some things right with it too. And what these two flags on our platform represent today are the greatest two causes, I believe, in all the world. The cause of Christ and the cause of freedom and democracy. They are ours to cherish. They're ours to be thankful for. They're ours to fight for. If necessary, to die for. I'm thankful for a home in which to live. I'm thankful for a wife. I'm thankful for food. I'm thankful for all of the good things God has done for me, for my family, for my church, for our community. Oh, how our hearts ought to pour out to God for all of the good things He's done for us. And someone has said that thanksgiving is thanks living. Let's not only give our thanks, but let's live our thanks day by day for what God has done for us. This introduces my message for Thanksgiving Sunday. It is no secret what God can do. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, I shall read after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee today for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for our homes and for our families. And dear God, as the pastor of this church, I feel so unworthy today. I thank Thee again, dear God, for the personal, individual blessings in my own home and life, and for this church and for our community and for our nation. May we be assured as never before in these days that it is no secret what Thou art able to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. This is the theme for our message today. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So let it be. unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Did it ever dawn on you that you can't ask God for anything that God doesn't have the ability to give? He is able to do far above anything that we could ask or think. It is no secret that God did more than we could ask or think in his marvelous act of creation. Have you read Genesis chapter 1 lately? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It is no secret that God, in his marvelous act of creation, has brought about and brought into existence this whole world. And God went to the apex and to the zenith of his crowning creation when he created man in his own image and in his own likeness. I think the time has come and we ought to reaffirm our faith in the Genesis account of the creation. Because all over the world, men are denying the Genesis account of creation. In fact, some say the first 11 chapters of Genesis are not historical at all. They are fairy tales. I believe in the Genesis account. In the beginning, God. It's no secret. It is no secret that God did more than we could ask or think in his marvelous work of redemption. Just think, God sent his own son, his only begotten son, into the world to save humanity, as sorry and impure and imperfect and sinful and vile as we are. Think about it. It is no secret that God did more than we could ask or think when he sent the Lord Jesus Christ from his ivory taluses of the heavenly world into this sin-cursed, dark, dismal, helpless, hell-bound world for one thing, to save you and to save me. It is no secret that God did more than we could have ever asked or that we could ever think in his marvelous work of revelation. Within this Bible, the great truths of God are written on every page. No wonder the poet said, within this ample volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happiest they of human race, to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born than read to doubt or read to scorn. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, as the pastor of Worth Baptist Church, I reaffirm that I believe that God inspired every word of this book. And I am more convinced today than I've ever been convinced that the Bible is the word of the eternal God. Can I just say in passing that you ought to be thankful today that you're a part of a fellowship that believes that? Oh, you said, but preacher, don't all people believe that? Don't all Baptists believe that? Let me share something with you this morning. You remember that last year or year before last, some months ago, that the past president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Dr. W. A. Chrisley, who is one of the most noted scholars in the biblical world today, and is just as fundamental and conservative in his Bible thinking as any man in the world. He wrote a book, Why I Preach That the Bible is Literally True. And some of his own brethren rose up in arms against him, passed a resolution condemning the Sunday School Board in Nashville for putting that book out as though it were the voice, the official voice of the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not on a tirade against the Southern Baptist Convention. You know I don't do things like that. I love the men in that organization who are preaching the same gospel that I'm preaching. And you can go anywhere in this city and find Southern Baptist preachers who are preaching the same gospel as we independents are preaching. I don't know why we don't all just get together and say, forget all the differences and be one, because we preach the same book. We believe the same gospel. We're headed in the same place. There's not that much difference in the doctrines and beliefs of the average Southern Baptist and the average independent Baptist church. But some of Dr. Criswell's own brethren rose up in arms against him, so he wrote a book and answered them. You know, he's capable of doing that. And the name of the book is Look Up, Brother. And this is just fresh off the press. In fact, the ink is almost still wet. And let me show you what some of the critics said, and Dr. Criswell answers them. And I'm quoting from Dr. Criswell's book. For example, a professor in one of our Baptist schools told his class that they should never preach from Esther or the Song of Solomon or from Ecclesiastes because these books should never have been included in the canon. After ridiculing the Song of Solomon as though it were an ancient immorality skit, he emphasized his point by saying, and Dr. Criswell here quotes the professor of a Baptist school, if I were making up the Bible, and thank God he didn't make it up. Let me throw that in. If I were making up the Bible, and you'll say thank God when you hear this, if I were making up the Bible and had a choice of including in it Playboy magazine or the Song of Solomon, I would choose Playboy magazine. A Baptist professor in a Baptist school said that. That's why I say that all Baptists don't believe. Now, this isn't, Dr. Criswell is not giving what is the general thrust of Southern Baptist, but there are some in the seminaries and colleges in this land that are teaching this to their students. And listen to what else he said. As for Jonah's ride in the whale, if the author of that story were to step into the world today and discover that anybody was accepting him word for word, I have the feeling he would just collapse from laughter. That's blasphemous, because Jesus believed Jonah word for word. Even though the professor says that if Jonah stepped into this world and said, heard anybody say or saw anybody who said they believed every word, that he would collapse from laughter. Jesus didn't collapse. Jesus used Jonah as the only sign of his own death and burial and resurrection. You see why I'm saying today that we ought to be thankful that we're a part of a church and a fellowship and a body of believers who teach and preach and hold that the Bible is the Word of God. Every book, every chapter, every verse, every line inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's no secret that God did a mighty thing when he gave us his word. Can you imagine such blasphemous nonsense from a so-called educated Baptist professor? Thank God for the Bible Baptist Seminary, and that your money is going to support a seminary that teaches that this is the book of God. Don't take it for granted. All teachers, all professors, and all schools don't teach that. Some of them are not too far from us, right here in this geographical location. I'm saying that to say this. Thank God that we still hold that this is the Bible, the inspired Word of God. And on this Thanksgiving Sunday, let us give thanks. Let us give thanks. You know, we hear a lot in these days about the Bible not being relevant. That word has been used so much until I'm sick to my stomach of it. Relevant. I saw a cartoon in the paper, and the woman was talking to her husband's boss man. And she said, "Well, that's what he says, sir. He'll not be in the office today because he doesn't feel relevant." Baloney. It is not my business to make this book relevant. That's God's business. It's my business to preach it like it is to you, like you are. And the Bible is the most related book. It is relevant to every phase of human life. Science, history, drama, literature, time, eternity, life, death, salvation, damnation. Everything you can mention, this book is related. It is the most related book in all the world. And yet some say the book is outdated, old-fashioned, and not related. And somebody says, "Well, why should a preacher get up in arms about one school or one professor somewhere?" Ask Dr. Criswell. He got up in arms about it and wrote a book about it. I might do the same. I'll tell you why. Little by little, inch by inch, the liberals of this world can take over. The most conservative denominations have been taken over by the liberals. God forbid that it should ever happen to the Baptist. Let's rise up in arms. Or somebody says, I don't believe it can be done. Did you read that story one time about the Razorback hogs up in Arkansas? I'm not talking about the guys running around with the numbers on these. I'm talking about the real hogs. The real hogs. Why, a few years ago up there, a bunch of wild hogs got loose, and nobody could catch them. Nobody could catch them. So one fella came in and said, "Well, I can trap them. I can catch them." They'd evaded every hunter and every dog and everything else. Nobody could catch them. So he went into the woods, and about 3 weeks later, he came out and had the wild hogs. Somebody said, "Well, how did you catch them?" He said, "Well, I fed them a little bit of corn. And then I fed him a little bit more corn. And then I fed him a little bit more corn. And then I fed him a whole lot of corn until I got him trapped." And that's exactly what's happening to the world of conservatism today. Little by little, the liberals are feeding a little bit of corn, of heresy here, denial of the Word of God here and there, until if we are not careful, we'll be trapped by the world of the liberals. Thank God on Thanksgiving Day for the Bible, the Word of God. It's no secret what God did for David out there against the giant. A little stone and a sling. It's no secret what God did for Elijah when he was facing the 450 prophets of Baal. And Elijah first rebuilt the altars of God. Let me tell you this, God's not going to send any fire on a broken down altar. But when Elijah rebuilt the altar and prayed, the fire of God came down. It's no secret what God did for Elijah. It's no secret what God did for Daniel. There in the den of lions, God locked the jaws of those beasts. Daniel came out unhurt and unharmed. No secret what God did for the Hebrew children who were thrown into the fiery furnace. He brought them out with unsinged, unscorched clothes and skin. And the good book says they did not even have the smell of smoke on them. That's no secret. It's no secret what God did for the Apostle Paul when he entered that corrupt, an idol-infested city of Corinth. And Paul was somewhat anxious about the whole program. And he was ready to get out of that city. And God said to him that night, "Paul, fear not. Fear not, Paul, for I have many people in this city." And Paul stayed there 18 months and preached the gospel. It's no secret what God did for Paul. How's that? Did I hear somebody say that was long ago? Well, let me tell you that this good book here says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, but somebody, did I hear somebody say, but that was the men of the Bible. Let me give you again out of the good book, God is no respecter of persons. I believe that God is able in the 20th century and 1970 to do for us what he did for the men of the book. If we just have enough faith. The day of miracles is not over. God is the same God. His power is the same power. His book is the same book. His work is the same work. You know why the trouble is? It lies with us. It's no secret what God can do. It's no secret what God can do for you. Are you facing a giant? Then face the giant of your life like David faced the giant of his life. Are you facing a den of lions? Then go into that den just like Daniel did and believe that God is still in the jaw-locking business. Are you facing a fiery furnace? Then leap in with the assurance that God still has an asbestos suit that will fit you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God of the universe. And he'll go with you wherever you're called to go. I read an interesting story out of the life of the late President Eisenhower. When he was the commander of the Allied forces in Europe, and the Allies were getting ready to cross the Rhine River, General Eisenhower, being the general that he was, went down with his men to cross the river in the same little boats that they crossed the river. And when he arrived on the scene, he saw that most of the soldiers were in good spirits. But lagging along behind, there was a little stripling who was young. And Mr. Eisenhower noticed there's something wrong with him. And he said to him, "How are you today, son?" "Oh," he said, "General, I'm nervous. I was wounded 2 months ago. I just got out of the hospital yesterday. And just to be honest with you, General, I'm a bit nervous and anxious about this crossing." And the big general laid his hand over on that boy's shoulder and he said, "Son, you and I make a good pair. I'm a little nervous too." And they walked on toward the boat. And about the time they got to the boat, the little fellow looked up and said, "Sir, I meant I was nervous. But since you got here, I'm not nervous anymore." Let me tell you this morning, we have the General of Heaven walking by our side. He laid his hand upon our shoulder. We have nothing to fear. "Fear not," he says, "because I'm with you." And beloved, we can cross every Rhine. We can go through every den of lions. We can go in the fiery furnace. We can cross the deserts and the mountains as long as he is with us. For he brings comfort and he brings cheer. I say to you today, it is no secret what God can do. You are sad, he can provide comfort. If you are weary, he can provide rest. If you are discouraged, he can provide encouragement. If you are sick, he can provide health. If you are weak and fearful and anxious, he can provide strength. And beloved, if you are lost, he can provide salvation. Oh, it's no secret how God can save your soul, mister. Young man, it is no secret that God can provide salvation for your lost soul. You're out there this morning, you're a little bit timid and you're a little bit anxious about some things that you know you ought to do. You need the courage to step out in this aisle. Put your hand in this pastor's hand and say, "Pastor, I want to go all the way with the Lord. I want to unite with the church. I want to be baptized. I want to join by letter. I want to go all the way with Christ." If you need that ounce of strength and energy and courage, you just trust Christ and he'll give it to you. You make one step and God will make every step down this aisle. it might seem like it's a mile long. Because God's got something good for you, and it's no secret. Perhaps you heard Paul Harvey say the other day, on his newscast, when he gave a report about a young girl 18 years old in St. Paul, Minnesota. She was a Bible school student, and she was working at a drugstore at night to pay her way through Bible school. Some of you know what that is. But don't get discouraged in it, because God's going to make a way for you. This young girl was in the drugstore alone. And a hijacker, a robber, came in. And he pointed the gun right at that little girl and said, I want your money. Little 18-year-old thing backed up against that cash register and made her stance. And she said, Mister, in Jesus' name, don't take this money. I'm a Christian. And God has got some things for me to do, something better for me to do. And she said, Mister, God's got something better for you to do than to take somebody else's money. And the would-be robber dropped his gun, turned around and walked out of that drugstore. Because one little girl said, in Jesus' name, don't do it. Oh, I tell you, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we can march to victory. In Jesus' name, we can win the battle. In Jesus' name, we can go over the top. In Jesus' name, you let me tell you that God has got something better than what you have now. It's no secret what God can do. Let's stand, brother.